United States v. Waters, Mr. Stevens or Ms.
Stevens. Good morning.
Barely.
Yes, sir.
Indeed, maybe it's afternoon.
This is a case involving the safety valve and whether defendant Randy Waters was improperly denied the benefit of the safety valve. Unlike the previous case, this does not involve 3553A. This was a mandatory minimum case in which Mr. Waters received a mandatory minimum sentence. Our contention at sentencing was that he was entitled to consideration under sentencing guideline 5C1.2, the safety valve. The safety valve provides five factors which must be met. There's no dispute as to four of those factors. The factor that is at issue is whether Mr. Waters truthfully provided to the government all information and evidence the defendant has concerning the offense or offenses that were part of the same course of conduct of a common scheme or plan. Chief Judge Miller found that he did not, and we're here to seek review of Judge Miller's finding. Let me touch briefly on the facts of the case that came out at trial, because I think those have some bearing on Judge Miller's decision in this case. There was a flyover by law enforcement in an attempt to search for marijuana plots, and one of the areas they flew over was Mr. Waters' home. Marijuana was seen growing on his property and near to his property, so law enforcement went in to investigate. They found Mr. Waters with a pair of scissors in his hand, tending the plants, a bag nearby, and some cuttings of the plants. Mr. Waters explained that he was growing marijuana for medicinal purposes and that he was using large quantities of marijuana in baking. Case went to trial, and the jury found Mr. Waters guilty of possession with intent to distribute that marijuana. Thereafter, of course, the issue of sentencing came up, and Mr. Waters sought the provisions and the availability of safety valve. It's significant that the government declined his efforts to provide information post-trial. And the reason that's significant is because it precluded him from having an opportunity to provide information. Now, I will certainly concede and agree that the government need not affirmatively seek out Mr. Waters and say, please come forward, let us give you the safety valve, please let us sit down and interview you. But this is not that kind of a case. This is a case where even at the sentencing hearing, the government said, we didn't want to talk to him because we didn't believe he was going to be forthcoming. We didn't give him a chance to talk to us because we didn't believe he was going to be forthcoming. Now, it's not enough that a defendant simply rely on the government not making the opportunity available. And Mr. Waters did not simply sit back and rely.
Isn't he still denying the offense?
Judge, the evidence in the case showed that Mr. Waters was growing marijuana. He admitted growing marijuana. The evidence in the case showed that there was a large quantity, and a jury may make an inference from the quantity that there was an intent to distribute. Clearly, the jury made that inference in this case because there was no evidence that Mr. Waters, no concrete evidence other than the quantity.
No, but he's still denying that, isn't he?
Well, Judge, what he admitted is that he was growing marijuana,
well,
and he was.
No, but he didn't. He doesn't admit what the jury found, so they don't have to give him a safety valve.
He admitted precisely what was proved in the courtroom, Judge, that he was growing a large quantity of marijuana.
Oh, come on, he's fencing. He's fencing. He's not. He's not coming clean. He's still not.
Judge, I would respect.
You're still fencing for him.
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor.
I don't buy that.
And the reason I would disagree is because he admitted to everything that the government proffered.
He's fencing.
In admitting to everything the government proffered, he's told.
Right, he's refusing to name anyone he distributed it to.
And Judge Miller relied on that. And I think that's where Judge Miller committed a clear and convincing error, because there is no evidence that there ever were any customers.
Well, what was he doing
other
with
than
this
the
stuff?
Quantity?
just smoking it himself, all of it?
Well, Judge Miller certainly has the right, just as the jury does, to say, from this quantity,
yeah,
we can
draw... And therefore to conclude that he's lying in his current position, which you are still defending, that he never sold it to anybody, never had any plans to sell it.
Well, the evidence, Judge, is...
It doesn't work that way. If you do not make what the judge and the government consider a truthful disclosure, no safety valve. Really as simple as that.
And I would agree with that, Judge.
No, you wouldn't.
But Judge Miller's finding that he did not provide truthful information was based on a refusal to disclose customers that there was no evidence that he had because he was growing. There were no scales found. There were no packaging materials found. There was no customer list found. There was no money found.
Judge can draw an inference that the person is not going to start growing large quantity of marijuana without customers.
And where
you're not going to grow a whole bunch of this stuff and then go hawking it around in the city streets saying, I've got marijuana for sale.
Well, but Mr. Waters named several people that he had purchased from, so it's clear that he knew a community, and he also mentioned that several friends had given him marijuana roaches, so it's clear that he knew a community of users. That doesn't mean that at the time that he was growing, he had established or identified any customers.
Ms. Stevens, what about the picture of he's involved in the community, at least as a purchaser, right?
I would agree with that. Yes.
And then we have amounts on and near the property that seem to go way beyond baking and personal needs.
And so from that inference,
then is it a leap to say that his position of just acknowledging there are these amounts and I was a purchaser, can't you see the inconsistency in the mind of the judge about of there not being a full disclosure?
I think there's a leap from...
Why do you have to buy with that kind of in-house quantity? Why is he the purchaser?
We don't have any evidence as to when he was buying. He admitted having bought in the past. But a leap from, at some point in the future, there's going to be a distribution to... He failed to identify specific customers.
So your point is, even if he were going to distribute, as the jury found, he just had never no evidence he ever sold to anybody. He was just warehousing for maybe a future sale, but that never occurred. Is that the best inference the judge could draw?
I think that's correct. There's no evidence that he had taken any affirmative steps other than growing toward distribution. And because of that, Chief Judge Miller's finding that he failed to disclose the names of the customers to whom he was going to distribute makes that a clearly erroneous finding because there is no evidence that Judge Miller could base that finding on.
The most you're saying he could do is that he was just warehousing it for a future sale, but no evidence of a sale.
Warehousing, I think, might be certainly the inference that could be drawn is that there was enough there that he intended at some future point to distribute.
And has he ever admitted that?
He's admitted growing large quantities, yes.
Has he ever admitted that he intended to distribute it?
At no point did Mr. Waters say, I intended to distribute, but the government
didn't... You're not answering my question.
He did not say...
He continues to deny that he intended to distribute it.
He did not say, I intend to distribute. The government did not give him an opportunity, and even at the time of sentencing said, we're not going to talk to him. And because of that denial, that's another issue that takes this out of the kind of case that creates a clear and convincing...
Does he now admit an intent to distribute it?
Judge, I've not talked to him about it, so I can't answer that question. I was not the trial counsel and, in fact, did not even brief this case. So those are matters that I can't answer. Sir?
Still equivocating.
At this point, the government has not given him the chance to equivocate or come forward. And that denial, in spite of his efforts through his affidavit to me.
He submitted an affidavit when he asked for the safety valve.
But, Judge, the matter is focused on by both the prosecutor and the district.
Why couldn't he submit an affidavit saying to the judge, I admit, you know, I was intending to distribute it, but I didn't have a customer list yet?
At that time, Judge, we were at sentencing, and that's too late to qualify for safety valve. Prior to sentencing, he submitted an affidavit on the issues that the government sought, and the issues that the government was concerned with were who his prior customers were, and Judge Miller focused on who his prior customers were and who his future customers were.
Okay. Well, thank you. Your time has expired.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Chasek,
Your Honor.
Chasek,
thank
sorry.
You. May it please the Court, Mr. Stevens. Your Honor, the Court has focused on the difficulty in this case. In most cases where you have a safety valve provision that defendant seeks to take advantage of, they arise in the course of a plea. And in this case, we don't have that. What we have is the result of a trial. And I think that this case is most closely analogous to United States versus Thompson, which is a 1997 case, which Judge Coffey wrote the opinion on. And he's present by telephone, correct, Your Honor?
Yes.
And in that case, United States versus Thompson, there were two defendants that were apprehended transporting marijuana in a moving van. And they went to trial, and throughout the trial and even up until sentencing, they contended that they were innocent mules in the situation, and they were therefore unable to provide any information to the government or to the court regarding their involvement in the transportation or the distribution of marijuana that was found in their truck. And we have, and in that case, Judge Coffey, opinion states that as a result, the court's assessment of defendants continuing to cling to a false version of events and dispute their own culpability up to and including the sentencing hearing is a sufficient basis for refusing to invoke the safety valve provision. Denying involvement is not the same as lacking useful information. It would be illogical if defendants could use the very story which led to their conviction as a means of obtaining a reduced sentence. And in this case, we've got the same situation. Even in his appellate brief on pages 15 through 17, Mr. Waters still contends that there wasn't evidence to support the conviction offense, which is distribution. And so basically we're in the same situation as Thompson. The defendant, even in the statement that he provided to the district court, he has never acknowledged that he ever intended to distribute any of the marijuana that was found on his property.
What if he made that statement to the government? He intended to. Well, where does that lead the government? How does that help you advance the ball? That I intend to distribute down the road, but I haven't contacted anybody yet. How would that make a difference?
Well, that would at least indicate to the government that the defendant was being truthful with providing information to the government. I think if
wouldn't give you any information, does it, Mr. Chasek?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't give us any information, but if Mr. Waters had said, look, and the evidence supported this, I was in bad financial straits at the time. I owed $75,000. I was in receiving Social Security disability, and I raised marijuana to make some money. I hadn't gotten to the point of distributing it, but I intended to, and I would probably have started off by contacting this guy that he identified as Rock. Then that could have gone a ways to persuading the government.
Well, you had Rock. You had that information, right?
Well, we had the simple name Rock. We didn't have any information on how to contact him, where he originally met him. There's contradictory evidence from the trial and in his statement. In the trial, he said he met him in a park. In the statement, he said he knew him from a bar. In any event, when contacted by defense counsel to find out if we were interested in talking to Mr. Waters, my first question is, well, is he going to talk about distribution? And the answer to that was consistently no. He did not grow this with the intent to distribute it. So I'm put in the position of, why should I waste my time? And I understand that under United States versus BRAC, we have an obligation, but. And maybe in retrospect, it would have been better to allow.
Sure, because then you're able to stand before us and say, look, well, I talked to him, and here's the nothing that we got, rather than having to deduce the nothing, which is a fair deduction. I appreciate that.
Yes, Your Honor. And in hindsight is 20/20. I probably...
That's what we practice here.
Right. And had that probably would have been the best course for me. But under the circumstances, having heard his testimony at trial, my opinion was that he was not going to tell the truth about anything, because his testimony at trial was rife with lies, in my opinion. And so basically, Brack says an offer combined with an effort to provide truthful information is sufficient. But we don't have that second part here. The statement that the defendant provided in lieu of talking to the government itself is full of misrepresentations, and of course never once mentions the conviction offense. Which
was the proffer to talk? What did it contain?
Well, the proffer of I'm talking about the Randy Waters safety valve statement.
Yes.
Which is, it mentions, contradicting his testimony in court, that there was an additional person that he received medicinal marijuana from, Mr. Kanshui. He says
but of
that
course this is before trial.
No,
this is after
the trial, and this was a safety valve statement in an effort to obtain the benefit of the safety valve. But it does mention this individual named Rock. He says he met him at a tavern, not in a park, like he said during trial, and that he had no way of contacting this individual named Rock. And doesn't mention distribution or even potential distribution by him, which is, of course, the offense which he was found guilty of by the jury. And so the safety valve statement certainly provided me with no additional incentive to talk to this individual. In any event, Your Honor, based on that information, I would ask the court to affirm the sentence in this case.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Michesi. Mr. Stevens, your time is up. You can have a minute. Okay, well, thank you very much, and we thank the defenders for taking this case. And the court will stand in recess.